Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation today is from our epistle lesson from Romans chapter 8, where St. Paul says, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." This is our text. You know, I really have to commend Pastor Ganey for his sermon last week from Romans. His theme of suffering and glory was absolutely spot on. But it was not just the sermon itself that I have to commend him on. The other reason is for deciding to preach on Romans in the first place. I don't know if you realize, but for the last 10 weeks, we have been in the book of Romans, and we've got another 7 weeks to go. And I've got to admit that just standing at the lectern and trying to read Romans in front of a group of 100 or 150 people is difficult enough. Romans can be a very technical, deep, theological, and difficult book to handle. And yes, just reading passages from Romans can be difficult, which is why during the last 10 weeks, I've totally avoided Romans with a 10-foot pole. That is, until today. Because our text from Romans today is, number one, much easier to read, and number two, it is entirely pure gospel. And that gospel begins with that very first verse of our text for today. Romans 8:28 reads, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good." You know, a lot of people take that to mean that God will never give you more than you can handle. Some people even think that that phrase, that statement, "God will never give you more than you can handle," is from the Bible. But guess what? It's not. The promise that all things work together for good does not mean that Christians won't have any problems. It does not mean that God will solve all your problems. It does not mean that God is going to take away all your problems. That simply isn't the case, as we all know. In many cases, people do go through more than they can handle. But when they can't handle it, that's when God steps in and God himself handles it for you. For the most part, that little sentence, "and we know that for those who love God, God works all things together for good," means that when trouble happens, God will use it to strengthen your faith. God will use it to get you to depend on him. God will use it to get you to trust in him. Ultimately, what it means is that no matter how bad things get down here on earth, we are going to heaven. And that is the ultimate in making all things work together for good. Because what can be gooder than heaven? I know that's bad language, but it just fits. You should have seen Pat Hellenberg yesterday. The second verse of our text is also equally pure gospel. It reads, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." And I take those words "foreknew" and "predestined" really to be synonymous. What it means is that before the foundation of the world, from all eternity, God designed his people would go to heaven. And that message is of such great comfort to us when we are pelted on every side by temptation and struggles and hardship and the like. I mean, just knowing that there's light at the end of the tunnel is of great comfort to all of us. We are going to heaven no matter what happens here on earth, all because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We can bank on our eternal home in heaven, where we will be totally transformed into the image of His Son. And verse 30, the next verse, is basically a rundown of an overview of the entire life of a Christian who places their trust in Jesus. It says, those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. So, again, from the very beginning, before God even created the world, God predestined us to be saved and go to heaven. And after we were born, God called us to faith through the Holy Spirit, working through the Word and the sacraments, especially through baptism. And because of our faith, God justified us. God declared us not guilty because of Jesus. So that when we die, we will be glorified in heaven. That's our life. That is our life as a Christian in a nutshell, all summed up in one little verse. And St. Paul doesn't use that word justified just willy-nilly off the cuff, because the rest of the text is there to give us a picture of Judgment Day as a courtroom drama. The big question before us is, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God sacrificed His own Son for us, won't He watch over us and graciously give us all things? Here in this text, God is pictured as a judge. And remember, our judge is the one who gave up His Son for us. That means that the judge, our judge, is on our side. And that is a tremendous, tremendous advantage when it comes to our court case. But not only that, the big question is, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? So, again, if we're going to court, someone has to bring charges against us. We've already determined that God, the judge, is on our side. So He isn't going to bring any charges against us. Then we learn that Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised, He's not going to bring any charges against us because He, in fact, is interceding for us. So we learn that Jesus is, in fact, serving as our lawyer. So the fact of the matter is that because of our faith in Jesus, there is no one, absolutely no one, who is going to bring any charges against us, because God is our judge and Jesus is our attorney. But what would happen if God or Jesus stopped loving us? I mean, what if we did something so incredibly wrong that God and Jesus stopped loving us and abandoned us? Well, St. Paul covers that in the rest of our text. He assures us that that just isn't going to happen. St. Paul writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all the day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves us. And that's the end of the story. And because God loves us, he sent his son to die on the cross so that we are going to heaven. And that is the end of the story. Nothing in heaven, nothing on earth, not even Satan, not even our worst sin can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that, my dear friends, is the greatest news, that is the greatest gospel we have ever heard. So yeah, we have been through some challenging texts from St. Paul in this book of Romans over the last 10 weeks. But it all leads up to this wonderful text from Romans chapter 8. A text that is much easier to read and a text that's much easier to handle and make into a sermon. But in this whole book of Romans, St. Paul shows us that one needs to first hear the law to understand that we are, yes, sinners. But then, in this text for today, he shows us the pure, pure gospel that Jesus Christ died for us, that Jesus Christ loves us, and in fact, that Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God right now, interceding for us. And because of that, we are going to heaven. This text culminates and climaxes with the great news that there is nothing ever created in heaven or earth which will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all of our human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.